your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Special late night broadcast with my guy Grant Cohn. I have not been to a single training camp this year, but this guy has been on the sideline for all of them. So I'm going to put myself in the role of the rest of you fans that haven't been to training camp. I'm going to ask him a million questions. We're going to get the uncut, uncensored late night version of Hensley versus Cohn in 17 seconds.
Back to throw, Montana. Steps up, throws.
Your host, Ryan Hensley.
Wouldn't it be nice if I could like play a sound bite of a new 49ers Super Bowl team winning Super Bowl instead of having to go all the way back to the 90s? We'll see, man.
Maybe. If they win one this year, can they get Joe Starkey to make the call?
Yes, anybody.
Can they bring back Joe Starkey, please? Please. I think that's... If you want to win a Super Bowl, you got to have everything lined up. You can't have Greg Papa calling games, man. You can't have the Raider guy calling Niner games. You got to bring Joe Starkey back. You want to get
serious.
Back to 94 uniforms, right? You got to bring back Joe Starkey.
He used to do exact same thing. Touchdown Raiders. And now it's touchdown Niners.
Yeah. How can you hear that voice and not hear and not think Raiders?
Yeah.
Raiders.
Yeah, I think a lot of young people probably don't know, but old men like myself, we remember.
It was touchdown Raider. He would really roll that. It was like a power saw. Like, I was like, I can't stand his voice. I'm so sorry. I hate it.
Well, sir, I got to see you. Was that last night? I got up so early. I got to see you last night. You and the boys.
Last night. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great time, man. Great time.
Me, you, my pops, coach, Jesse. Dude, we walked in there and people were like, oh my God, it's Ryan. It's Jesse. This logo is crazy, man. It's you know, but that's what happens when the five of us walk around.
We got to do it more often, man. I'm looking forward to it again soon.
Yeah,
and getting out there on the golf links. But what I have not been able to do, I just got back from the Bay literally 10 minutes ago. Met you last night. Then I went to Muir Woods this morning, Sausalito. Just got back. I don't know what the hell's going on at training camp. I haven't been to one single training camp yet. Not sure if I'm going to, but I might. But here's the beauty of it. You, sir, have been to all of them.
Yeah.
Today was the first one in pads. Before, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions, but before we get too much into it, what's the difference? I mean, obviously, they're wearing pads. But like, did you see a major difference between last week and today when they're able to put on pads?
No. And it's annoying me because honestly, look, this is my 14th training camp. So I have a little bit of context here. And usually the first day in pads is like perfect attendance, energy, intensity, ratcheted up, not just a notch, 10 notches. It's usually the most energetic practice of camp. And then like a weekend, people get tired and start fighting. But this is supposed to be the one. And they didn't do one-on-ones. Usually it's the first day of one-on-ones, which are like, it's very intense. Because if you lose, like everyone saw it. You know, you can't hide. Everyone saw it. And then also it's like everyone got the day off except for Brock and Debo and Fred Warner. Like, Bosa, Kittle, Juszczyk, McCaffrey, Ayuk and Trent Williams weren't there. It just felt like.
And was it light as well?
It felt like a false start. It felt like a false start.
Was it like 100% or were they like kind of taking it easy?
It was supposed to be 100%. It just didn't feel like last year, Brandon Ayuk was literally fighting Fred Warner. It was very intense, and it felt like this is a team that is not messing around. And this year it's like, well, Brandon's here but not, and Trent's not here, and a lot of vets have the day off today, and it's the first, and they just had the day off on Sunday. And then they come back on Monday and all the vets need another day off. Like, what is going on with this team? It's time to go. It's almost August. It doesn't feel like last year to me. It feels like a little bit more of, we've been to 3 straight NFC championship games, all right? This is exhausting. This is a grind. And we know we can do the grind, but we just haven't gotten out of the couch yet. Sorry, it just feels like that. Like, we're going to do it.
Well,
not yet though.
The best player on your team's not there. The all-star of the training camp last year, training camp MVP, Brandon Ayuk from last year is not there. Let me ask you this question. So far, 4 days, who is the MVP of this training camp? I thought it was going to be Brock, but I want to know. I thought that was my prediction. But who is your training camp MVP thus far after 4 days?
5 days now. Well, I can't say Brock because he threw 3 picks today. And I feel like that doesn't mean Brock's not good, but it's objectively not a good day. And we all know that it doesn't translate to the season. Like, he had that one bad game against the Ravens where he threw a bunch of picks. But essentially, what I'm starting to feel with Brock is that he's a very good quarterback, bordering on excellent, who may not ever be a good practice quarterback or a good camp quarterback for a lot of reasons. Like, he has poise when the live bullets are flying. That's rare. He can extend plays and improvise. Can't do that in practice. Also, I think he's the kind of guy who tries certain things in practice that he wouldn't do in games. I think we've seen that from him. With Jimmy practiced the way he played. But Brock, like, let's go through his picks today. First pick, Logan Thomas hits him in the chest, bounces off, not Brock's fault. Second pick, throwing to Braden Willis, overthrows him a little bit. Okay, but like, he's not going to target Braden Willis more than twice this season. So like, I mean, he's sort of getting a feel for a backup player. And then the third pick, he throws a quick, you could call it telegraphed, throw rock and fire from the shotgun to Debo over the middle. It's picked by George Odom, but it's a bang bang play. And you could argue like, all right, well, he gave Debo a shot. It was a 50-50 ball and George Odom won. And Brock will file that away. I'd be throwing like 50-50 balls to Debo during the season. So you could argue that this is a mature veteran style quarterback who is logging information right now. That's the glass half full way to look at it. And that's probably how I would look at it, knowing what we know about Brock in the regular season.
Well, let me ask you these specific questions, because during the offseason for Brock Purdy, he said his focus was going to be on, one, mobility. Well, I think that was two. Two was mobility. Number one was building his velocity in his ball. Do you, like, take away the, like, anything outside of that? You know, do you see those improvements? Do you think he's more mobile? Do you see more velocity in his ball?
No, but I'll just say, like, I'm not the most discerning viewer, and I feel like his mobility is already excellent. I think he just needs to be more decisive and aggressive with it, but I think he's not going to get faster. I already like his mobility, and we've talked so much about his arm strength. I think it's essentially good enough.
But so, no improvements from last year.
Not that I see. Maybe incremental, but what I've noticed is he's trying to, every practice, he'll take one or two shots deep, and he hasn't hit one yet. And is that his fault? Is that the receiver's fault? I think it's probably both. But if Ayuk were out there, I think Purdy would be completing these throws. And I think what we're seeing is Debo's a hell of a player, and give Debo a ton of credit for taking zero practices off. None. OTAs, minicamp, training camp, like, Bosa didn't practice today. Debo's out there every freaking day. And like, he got this reputation for being a diva, of being out of shape. Like, not anymore, not this year. But he's not a deep threat. He is what he is. He's given his best effort, but he's not a route runner. He's not a deep threat. He's a wide back. And today he had an end around today. It was beautiful, man. Freaking beautiful. But if you throw him the deep crossing route, the fade route, like, he better be wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who's your MVP of the training camp so far?
I guess you'd have to go with something boring like Fred Warner. I mean, he picked off Purdy today. He's out there every day. He's the leader of the team. Bosa takes days off. Warner really doesn't. No one on the offense has really asserted himself. On offense, it would be... honestly, Purdy or Debo. And I think it might be Purdy. Purdy might end up being the MVP of the camp, even though he's not going to have like good camp numbers, just because he's there every day. And you see how he's going about his craft and trying to improve. He's not so concerned about winning the day or getting a good report. Like, that was Sam Darnold last year. Sam Darnold was so safe and boring and dink and dunk in practice because it was clear he wanted people to say he didn't turn the ball over and he completed 70% of his throws. Like, yeah, but you weren't really playing quarterback. Brock plays quarterback, and he doesn't seem to really care about what the report's going to be that day. I got to respect that. So in a sense, he is like the feature of this. I mean, McCaffrey's taking hella days off. Kittle's taking hella days off. A lot of the vets in the team haven't really showed up yet, frankly.
Yeah, a couple completely haven't showed up, and we'll get into those guys. Do you see Brock's leadership, like it's always been good, but do you see him taking more control, being more of the leader now? Like, this is my team. Is that more obvious, or has it always been obvious, or is it about the same, or how do you see that?
I don't think it's more obvious. To me, it seems like the same. I would anticipate him becoming like demonstrably more vocal and demanding when he gets paid. Because to me right now, like, he's still trying to be like the good soldier, you know, whatever you say, coach, that kind of guy. But once he gets paid, I think the expectation is you need to talk. So I don't know. I think there's been like certain anecdotes of him maybe yelling at Debo like on one play here and there. I didn't see it, but that's always been Brock. He's not a shrinking violet, but he's essentially very consistent. He seems the same.
Okay. Would you summarize when we'll move off of Brock after this question? Cause there's a lot I want to ask you about, but would you summarize Brock Purdy? Do you think he's having a good training camp?
I do think he's having a good training camp. Guy had 3 picks today. It happens. But Josh Allen had 3 picks like a few days ago. Like, doesn't mean that his camp sucks. I think Brock's earned that grace. Like, we know what you are. And when Jimmy did stuff like this, it was like, okay, like, are you? It was important because he wasn't super serious about his craft. He wasn't, and it would reveal itself, and the Niners would have to work so hard to prop him up and cover up his deficiencies. That's not what's happening with the Brock Purdy experience. Now, it is worth it to examine what he really is worth. You know, like, now that Jordan Love got $56 million a year, he's going to get $60 million a year. And on a practice where, practice where McCaffrey's not there and Juszczyk's not there and Kittle's not there and Ayuk's not there, like, what do you look like? And today the answer was not good. But you could argue like, okay, he was trying stuff. You know, he's a conscientious, smart quarterback. But there is that question. We've never seen him play a game without Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
We'd like to see that before giving him $350 million or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the whole season will have to play out and we'll see what he looks like. It's going to be interesting to see if Brandon Ayuk is part of that or not and how that affects everything. Shout out to Dave Barkley. Says, my guys, let's get after it. Love you, boys. Love you too, Dave. Thank you very much, sir. And we will get after it as you wish. I want to ask you, since we're on the quarterbacks, Josh Dobbs, Brandon Allen. Obviously, Josh Dobbs, from what I heard, didn't start off
well. Hold on. Before we go to Dobbs, and we'll come back to that. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we were watching Brock. He's a hell of a quarterback. He doesn't have an offensive line, but he has weapons, a defense, and a genius coach, quote unquote.
Yeah.
What would he benefit more from at this point? Kyle, the genius, or a good offensive line?
I took a poll. let me share this poll with you. And this is 49er fans who usually tend to be, you know, typically they're a little bit more pro organization than other people would, right? I asked this question because these are two scenarios. One is the scenario that they're in. One is the scenario they could have been in had they prioritized the offensive line. The question is, would you rather have Cam Latu? And I heard Cam Latu had a catch today, so congrats to Cam. But would you rather have Cam Latu, Ricky Pearsall, and Renardo Green? And I heard Renardo Green's looking good too. And Ricky might be great as well. Or would you rather have DeJuan Jones, Jackson Powers Johnson, and Kingsley Sumataya? Because that could have been the other option. And 54% of Niner fans chose option B,
yep,
the offensive line. And here's the thing that really trips me out, because they're about to pay Brock Purdy $65 million. That's my guess next year.
Right.
Why would you not invest everything you can into protecting your franchise quarterback you finally found, who's going to be making $65 million a year, when that's the biggest glaring area of weakness to everybody? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, you assume they're going to offer him $65 million a year. Mm-hmm. But look what they're doing to Brandon. Who's to say they won't just come a little bit, come in a little bit under that for whatever reasons? I'm not certain they're going to. He's worth it on the current quarterback market, but I'm not certain that Kyle and the Niners will do that, because Kyle thinks he's more important than Brock. No question. And that's going to be a problem, because giving Brock $65 million a year is kind of an admission like, hey man, like, I'm so grateful to have you. You are the ultimate asset to this organization. That's the kind of thing that Andy Reid, Sean McVay could do. I can't see Kyle actually like bending the knee to a player of his, but I've only covered him for 8 years. Maybe I don't know him like I think I do.
Yeah, we'll see. I just don't know what's your alternative. Are they going to just draft a guy and go with a rookie again? They're horrible at that.
Yeah, I know, right? But
you don't want to do that. So, I mean, I feel like Brock gets my prediction right now. It's, what is it, July 29th, 2024. Brock Purdy will be paid $65 million a year. Now, they'll set it up tricky where they have outs after.
It's a good prediction, man. I just want to point out that Jimmy Garoppolo lost a Super Bowl in 2020, and a year later, Trey Lance was on the team. He had one down year with some injuries, and the Niners are like, oh, my God. So, Brock, don't take anything for granted, right? Because Kyle is nuts. Sorry, I take it back. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens with Brock. What about the backups, quarterbacks? I'm curious. Has Tanner Martin, let's start with Tanner. Has he touched the field? Has he thrown a football? Zero. Interesting. And then they brought
in. He warms up with the team, but they don't give him any reps with the in team drill, which is too bad.
So no reps, and then they bring in the Love kid. What is that a reflection of Tanner Mordecai? No reps at all, and then they bring in this Love kid for a workout? Is that a reflection on Tanner?
I didn't even know they did that.
They brought in some kid named Love, not the guy from the Packers.
McLovin?
Another guy named Love, a quarterback, and they worked him out. And I'm just wondering.
Well, I mean, I can't say that Tanner's good or bad. I haven't seen him, you know, actually compete. But
why haven't they given him anything?
Maybe they think he sucks. Maybe they just want to stash him on the practice squad. I don't know. But it seems kind of like unfair, because last year they had Brock, Trey, Darnold, and Brandon Allen, and Kyle made it his business to get all four guys reps.
Yeah.
All four every day. And then when Brandon Allen would take reps, it's like, why are you wasting everyone else's time? But he did it. Yeah. It'd be nice to see it with Tanner too, because Brandon Allen isn't good. He's terrible.
So he was winning up until, and then I heard Dobbs had a good day last week. Who's winning right now?
Dobbs.
Okay.
Dobbs actually has been pretty good the last couple of days. He's got a bit of a funky release, but he's better than Brandon Allen. And this isn't even like real football where like mobility matters. You know, I Brandon Allen should be better than Dobbs in practice because Dobbs has this whole dual threat element that he can bring to a real game. But the last couple of practices, he was, I think he was 5 of 8 today and 10 of 11 yesterday. And Brandon Allen has looked terrible the last couple of days. So shout out to the Pastronaut.
We kind of know what Brandon Allen is. He's a third string quarterback, really. That's what Brandon Allen is.
He's the future quarterback coach for Kyle Shanahan or his kid Carter. His kid is there as like a ball boy. You know that kid's going to be an offensive coordinator in like 10, 15 years.
Brandon Allen is there to help in the film room. That's what Brandon Allen is there for, to support Brock Purdy and the backup quarterback, whoever that really is.
Yeah, he's like a caddy in golf. Like I would go with an 8-iron here. Thanks. Thanks, Brandon.
All right. So we got the quarterbacks. I want to go to defense because I've heard defense been winning. We'll come back to offense. It sounds like that is the best unit on this team, the defensive backs, the corners.
No, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It used to be the D line, but it's not anymore. It's the secondary. And it's crazy because the Niners always built their defense front to back. But now, Lenore's a hell of a player. Yotam's pretty good. Javarius Ward might be the best player on the defense. I don't know. He's really, really good. Warner's great. Bosa's excellent. Hargrave's pretty good. Leonard Floyd's impressive.
Hargrave looks better.
Impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Before Hargrave we go there, I want to ask you specific. Yeah. What is Rock Ya-Sin? How does Rock Ya-Sin looking? Have you noticed him at all?
Yeah. He looks like an older player who's had some injuries. It may not, I don't know.
What about Luter? Is Luter improving?
He's made some plays. Okay. Luter and Mustafa have made some plays. Like they're not consistently popping every day, but they've shown something. But Lenore, Yotam, Renardo Green today. Renardo Green hasn't like been dominating. But he hasn't been getting beaten. He's just been like this close to making plays. And then today in a red zone drill, in a red zone 11 on 11, he was playing nickel with the starters because Chavarius Ward had the day off. And he broke up a pass intended for Juwan Jennings on a fade to the back pylon from the slot. Like, it's a big play for Renardo Green. It's a big play. He's a good player.
Yeah, I think it's a great pick. My favorite pick of the draft before they even drafted him, a guy that I had on my boards who I wanted was the most excited about was Malik Mustafa. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like Renardo Green's doing really well.
Both of them look good. Both Malik of them look good. Well.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there a scenario where they play Huff, Malik, Jair, or do you not see that happening?
I mean, I would like to think that if those are three of the best 11 players that Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley could figure out a package where they're all on the field together. Yeah. If it warrants it, you need to be flexible enough to get your best 11 on the field. So if that includes three safeties, especially while Dre Greenlaw's out, like, yeah, make that work because it seems like Hufanga could do something like that or Mustafa.
Right. All right. Let me ask you about the linebacker. Let's come in from the back end. Let's talk linebackers. Obviously, Fred Warner's Fred Warner. Dre Greenlaw is out. Talk to me about Devondre Campbell and how he looks, and then we'll move on to the other guys below him, supposedly. But I heard he's a big dude, monstrous-looking guy, but how is he playing? Have you noticed anything with Devondre?
I'm going to be as transparent and honest here as I can. I have a tough time assessing linebackers in practice. They're tacklers. They're runners and hitters.
And that's the most important thing you can't see.
I just don't know. I mean, like, I could see if you're, like, in the right gap or if you fit the run correctly or how you explode, move to a certain spot. But are you violent? Do you miss the tackle? Do you wrap up? I have no idea. So my impression is that D. Winters, it looks like he's in excellent shape and is very explosive and can get sideline to sideline. But I don't know. He might miss every tackle in a real game. I have no idea. But he seems intriguing. Devondre Campbell has made some plays. So maybe he's got a little bit left in the tank. But I think they should have just re-signed Azeez Al-Shaair 2 years ago. They miss him. They've never replaced him.
A guy that really jumped out at me last year was Jalen Graham. And I've heard that he's doing well. Why do they have Jalen Graham behind Fred talking about what we were talking about in regards to having three safeties on the field, wouldn't it be smart to move Jalen in Greenlaw's position? Why do you think they have him behind Fred and as opposed to competing for Greenlaw's position right now?
I saw Graham playing a little outside linebacker today. So it seems like he's being cross-trained, which is fair for a backup. And the way I look at training camp is usually, especially the first week, before the first preseason game, all the vets are starting. Almost as a courtesy. But then a couple weeks go by, people establish themselves, good and bad. A game happens. And then you'll start to see little tweaks to the first string defense and offense. So I don't think, like, you don't need to read into the fact that D. Winters isn't starting yet, meaning that, like, he's behind Devondre Campbell. It's just like Kyle might see it as hasty and reactionary to tweak a starting lineup based on five practices without a game. But he probably is seeing the same things we're seeing. And if it continues, then this eventually will, you know, work itself out before the season starts.
The Niners, for whatever reason, since they got Patrick Willis, have been amazing at the linebacker position. It sounds like Winters and Graham have at least potential to be dudes. So that's good. You know, regardless, even if Greenlaw's out for a few weeks, sounds like they got some guys. At least it's not a worry, I don't think. Are you concerned at all about linebacker at this point in the absence of Greenlaw?
I think it should be a concern, frankly. Like last year, they had Greenlaw and Fred Warner, and I didn't feel like it was the strength of the team because that third linebacker spot matters. That guy plays. And it went from being Azeez Al-Shaair, who was legitimately an excellent player, to Oren Burks, who wasn't. Who was a liability on defense, good special teams player. Now it's like it's Fred Warner and maybe Devondre Campbell has something left in the tank. Maybe D. Winter steps up. Like,
it's a question.
A whole lot of question marks. It's Fred Warner and question marks that could turn out. There's potential.
Okay. Let me ask you, let's move in again. Defensive tackle, defensive end. They usually keep five each. At the end spot, Nick Bosa, Leonard Floyd, Yetur Gross-Matos. What's your impression before we dive into it further? What do you think of Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos?
I like Leonard Floyd as a pass rusher. He's in great shape. He looks like one of these guys, 6'4", 240, 6% body fat. Just an incredible athletic specimen. And he's got explosion, bend. He's going to be really tough to stop as a pass protector. But this is a defense that also struggled against the run last year. And Leonard Floyd's light. Malik Collins is kind of small. Hargrave's kind of small. Bosa didn't do great against the run last year. That's still a question for me. Like, what are they going to do to improve against the run? Yeah. Why was that all Steve Wilks' fault? Why is this going to improve this year? I don't know. Today, it didn't. The run defense was trash today, and Kyle talked about it. So, I don't know.
That's against a horrible offensive line.
Correct.
That's not good. What do you think of the two guys they immediately replaced Eric Armstead with on the inside, Malik Collins, Jordan Elliott? What have you noticed from those guys?
Not much. Neither one's really jumping out. I mean, they look okay.
It's great to hear.
But yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just trying to be honest. Like,
I want you to be
honest. Not much. I haven't seen much from either one. They're not making a ton of plays. Like, the guy who stands out is Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd looks like an excellent addition to the team. No question. But Malik Collins? He had the day off today. Why?
So right now, Leonard Floyd, Isaac Yiadom, those are the two big signings, you think, from a free agent standpoint?
Yes. Good call. Absolutely.
The last question on the defense I want to ask you, because we skipped over, I forgot to ask you. Tatum Bethune, seventh rounder, linebacker for the 49ers. Have you noticed anything from him? How does he look? What do you think of him?
He doesn't have an NFL body yet. D. Winters didn't last year. So I don't think he'll play much this year, but at the same time, in 11-on-11s, he's making plays in coverage. He's in the action. I think he's got a future. He's got potential. But just look at him walking around, I'm like, probably not. Not as a rookie. Not on this team.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you, let's go to the offense. All right, let's start with probably the best position at this moment in time, which would be the running backs, I'm assuming. Christian McCaffrey and heard Jordan Mace. Has Jordan, I read something briefly. I was driving, but I read something my wife showed me. Jordan Mason, is he surpassing Elijah Mitchell right now?
No question. No question. And it's like overdue.
Someone thought that already, though.
Overdue. I mean, no offense to Elijah Mitchell. Like, there's no shame. He's not like he's gotten fat or like stopped caring. He got hurt a lot. And I think it took something out of him. And I wouldn't even necessarily blame him. He runs so hard. I think Kyle overused him young in his early in his career, and he deserves some of the culpability for that. But the opposite end of the spectrum is Jordan Mason. Like, he is so much tread on his tires. They've underused him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now he's in his third year as a pro, and it's like he
looks great. Great
shape. He looks like Marshawn Lynch.
Is he close to being MVP of this training camp so far?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Because he's out there every day. His runs are explosive, and he's the best receiver out of the backfield, not named Christian, by far. Like, he's a much bigger threat as a receiver than Juszczyk.
I had Elijah Mitchell as a possible trade candidate, but Isaac Garrido sounds like he might redshirt a year based on his injury.
They said it was bad.
So he's probably done. He's like, he's Cam Latu, basically, at this point, it seems like.
Worse. Because Cam Latu, like, he might stick around the league for a while. The Niners draft these mid-round running backs that just wash out immediately. And he might be the next in the line with Trey Sermon and Joe Williams and Ty Davis Price. Like, there was nothing there. That being said, Cody Schrader.
So he looks
Cody Schrader. I like Cody Schrader. So he's got kind of like these Brock Purdy thighs. Like, he's very thick. He's thick with like 7 C's. And he's short. He's got a low center of gravity. He's not fast, but he's very explosive, quick, and decisive. So he finds daylight, as opposed to Isaac Garrido, who's not decisive. And he's like, hesitating. Tevin Coleman used to be that way. For whatever reason, on the Niners, he was just very indecisive about where he wanted to go. Then Raheem Mostert would come in, and it was like, boom, there's a hole. Boom, there's a hole. Like, no second guessing myself. That seems like Cody Schrader and Jordan Mason, two guys who, and that's the whole thing with this system, right? It's a one cut and go system. You don't rock back and forth, think about it. Like, you just got to make a decision. There isn't one hole you're supposed to go to. It's all about reading it and using your vision and finding the hole. And if maybe it's going all the way to the edge or cutting it back, that's the beauty of outside zone. And Schrader's got it. Mason's got it. Mitchell's got it. McCaffrey's got it. Garrido, not yet.
Okay. So it sounds like it's Christian McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, Cody Schrader. Those are your running backs pretty much this year.
Yes.
All right. I want to dive into the most interesting positions to me, obviously receiver without BA, the O-line without Trent, and I want to talk tight end. Before we do that, though, give me 17 seconds. Hensley Real Estate and Mortgage has been serving all of California since 2009. I would love to help you and your family. Whether you're buying, selling, financing, or refinancing, please reach out. I'd love to help. Visit RyanGHensley.com for more information. This is my favorite sponsor of all time. By the way, before we dive back in, if you guys would be so kind, man, I have a 9,935 subscribers. I need 65 to hit 10,000. And I'm tired of talking about it. So just do me a favor. You're going to eventually subscribe. That's the thing. Whether it's now or in 18 months from now, you will subscribe to my channel. Let's just stop beating around the bush.
Why haven't you subscribed to Ryan's channel yet? That's whack.
I don't get it.
I'm subscribed.
If Grant's,
you're not cool unless you're subscribed to Ryan's channel.
That's true. That's what I heard.
And you pee your pants.
All right, man. Let's talk. I'm going to save the worst for last.
Peeing your pants is cool. Consider me Miles Davis. All right, go ahead.
Oh, we had a kid who peed in his pants in fourth grade at school, and the kid just, his whole school was just like he graduated high school and they were still talking about it. It's rough.
People don't forget.
That's tough.
It is tough.
All right.
The meanest people in the world. Children.
Yes.
So relentlessly mean.
Let's start with Tom.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, the moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I do.
Yes.
George Kittle is pretty good tight end. Cam Latu had a catch today. I heard that. That's exciting to me. I'm thrilled. I'm a big Cam Latu supporter. I don't know why, but I just want him to be good. I feel bad for guys that just come in and have a tough time. So who is I heard Mason Plyne look good. That was, and by the way, I think it was like 2 weeks ago on your show, I predicted Mason Plyne is going to make this roster. I still don't know if that's going to happen, but I believe in the kid. He seems really athletic. What's going on at tight end? Besides George Kittle, Cam Latu, Braden Willis, Mason Plyne, Eric Sobert, Jason Tongs, Logan Thomas. There's a lot of dudes there. Who's winning? Who's going to make this roster?
I'm not sure Logan Thomas is going to make it. I mean, that's a guy who's been a starting tight end forever, but he's a little bit older and he hasn't played well. Now, maybe it's possible like he just doesn't know the system yet and it's going to take him a while, but Mason Plyne's been on the team just the same amount of time, and he made like a 25-yard catch today up the seam, twisting around, jumping, catching the ball over the DB. Like, I haven't seen that from Logan Thomas. Like, I'm not sure that Logan Thomas makes his team. It looks like it's going to be Kittle, Sobert, and Willis for sure. And then they'll keep a fourth tight end, and I don't know who it'll be. It could be – honestly, it should be Latu. They don't want to cut a third-round pick in year two. So he would have to play his ass off the team. And so far, to his credit, he hasn't. I don't think he's dropped a – he hasn't dropped a pass yet. They just kind of been, like, breaking him in slowly. It felt kind of like last year. He was a third-round pick. There was a lot of pressure on him. Everyone kind of knew he was a controversial pick. He dropped one or two passes, and it was like, uh-oh. But now they're, like, kind of taking the spotlight off of him, and he's doing fine. So we'll see.
my prediction, Mason Plyne is going to make it difficult for the 49ers. And if they cut him, another team's going to pick him up. He's not going to make the practice squad. That's my Mason Plyne prediction. So we'll see what happens.
How fast is Mason Plyne?
That part I don't know, but I know he was a basketball player. I know he is, what, 6'8"?
4'8". Slow.
That's pretty slow.
But you know what?
It's not.
So was Latu. So was Ford. I mean, yeah. So was Jennings. Like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, Jennings is the slowest wide receiver on this team.
He's slow.
Yeah. From a 40 standpoint. All right. Speaking of Jennings, let's talk wide receiver. Obviously, no Brandon Ayuk. I heard Ricky Pearsall kind of participated, not fully, but kind of participated today a little bit, which is a good sign, hopefully.
Yeah.
Debo is being Debo, Y-back. How do you see this position? Let's just assume that Brandon Ayuk's going to make the roster. We know Brandon Ayuk's going to be signed an extension. We know Debo's going to be on the roster. We know Ricky is. We haven't really got to see him much, so we'll leave him out of it. Jacob Cowan's got like a 10-day hamstring issue. We know Jawan Jennings is there. So let's talk about the real people. Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Tariq Owens, Tate Martin got a hamstring. Chris Conley, Trent Taylor. So Danny Gray, Ronnie Bell, Tariq Owens, Chris Conley, Trent Taylor. That's the battle right now.
None of them matter. Like, I'm so, like.
As football players on this team, not as people.
Exactly. They all matter. But I would probably give it to Ronnie Bell because I feel like he's the most versatile. Like, you could give him an end around. You could give him a jet sweep. He could play X. He could run a post corner. He could run a dig. It doesn't mean he'll catch the ball. Right. It doesn't mean he won't fumble. But theoretically, he's a really good backup because he's versatile and can do a lot of stuff. But Danny Gray, like, you're a deep threat on a team that doesn't throw deep, you know? Like, Chris Conley, you're 30-something. Trent Taylor, like, no. but whoever wins this competition is going to get 3 targets this year. Or 4.
Don't you kind of feel like they're just going to put Trent Taylor on the team?
Yes.
I kind of feel like that's going to happen.
I agree. Practice squad at least, for sure.
And then I heard Ricky was returning punts today. Is that accurate?
What they said is that they didn't want to make him a full participant because they want to give him, like, you know, a half load, see how he does tonight. Come back tomorrow. Are you sore? Do you have a setback? If not, then you're full go. Which it seems smart, but I want to see what the offense looks like with him on the field. What do you do, man?
And are you convinced, obviously, B.A., Debo, Ricky, Jawan Jennings make the team. Are you convinced Jacob Cowan has a lock on this roster just because he was drafted?
No.
No.
He's been hurt. He's been hurt like the whole time. He's hurt again. He's going to have to do something, but what they won't cut him, but they can give him the Cam Latu experience. Like, hey, man, you don't realize it, but you're really hurt. You're extremely injured. We're telling you. And you're going to be injured the whole year. So.
And do you get the feeling that they're missing Brandon Ayuk right now?
I get the feeling that Brock Purdy is missing Brandon Ayuk right now. Yeah, I think Brock Purdy has a great connection with Ayuk, and they bring the best out of each other. And I don't think that Debo is such a great fit with Purdy. And I want to say something else about Purdy. I'm a big Purdy guy, as people watching this stream today realize. All the receivers in the Niners, with the exception of Jennings, are not contested catch guys. Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, McCaffrey, they're not guys like, if you just throw the ball into coverage and say, grab that. None of them. Maybe Jennings is that way. And if you go back and watch Purdy in college, he's a guy who had big wide receivers, big tight ends, and thrived off of throwing 50-50 balls that he had confidence in certain players to win. I think that's part of the reason he throws picks in camp is because that's the kind of quarterback he is, and he's given certain guys opportunities. And Debo's not that guy. Ayuk's not that guy. He has these long arms, but how many contested catches do you really remember Ayuk making? Jennings, I remember making some contested catches, but those are all guys who get open. Debo's a guy who doesn't get open or make contested catches. He just trucks you. Fine. But if Purdy's really your guy for the long term, I mean, get him some bigger receivers who, like, will reward his riskiness, his confidence, his trust.
They didn't do that with Ricky or Cowan. They're not the biggest guys, right? Ricky's what, 6 foot?
Yeah. Oh, and he's got short arms. He's not going to be a contested catch guy. He's got to get open.
So we'll see how that works out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was interested in Tate Martin, but I don't know if he's ever going to like break the roster politics and get a real shot. Honestly, I think Chris Conley's probably the best wide receiver. I'm not there, but I've seen Chris Conley. I just think they don't have to prioritize him because of his situation. No team's going to sign him or pick him up. They can throw him on the practice squad or call him whenever they want to. But I feel like if you're just watching, you don't know anything about these guys, don't know their salaries, don't know their history, don't know the roster politics, you probably look at Chris Conley and think he's one of the best six guys. That's how he comes off to me.
Yeah, but to me, it's like outside of the top three, you're not getting targeted. This is a team that has Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, Juszczyk, Kittle, McCaffrey. Like they don't pass. So you got six guys who are all going to have fewer targets than they really deserve. And we're talking about Jacob Cowing and Braden Willis and Cam Latu. Like, yeah, you guys matter in the event that there's an injury or maybe like 2 years down the line. But this year, Kyle's job is to figure out how to get more targets for freaking Kittle. More targets for freaking Ayuk. Like, that's the job.
Yeah. And it sounds like, I mean, that's the thing about Conley, though, as well, and Braden Willis. They're both special teams guys, and they can contribute in that regard. So that might favor Conley. We'll see, but I don't know.
So hold on. You got those six players on offense. Juice, McCaffrey, Jennings, Kittle, Debo, Ayuk. Six players who don't get the ball enough. If there's going to be one player who will crack that group and make himself a factor too, I think it's going to be Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah. And that's the guy who matters.
It feels like I was finally feeling that way. I think a lot of us have felt that way for 2 years now. It feels like Kyle's coming around on it for whatever reason. It's good to see.
It's easy to come around on good freaking players.
Do you think, I don't know. I just feel like George Kittle's roommate's going to make the team. Trent Taylor.
Yeah. I would agree. That's the thing. Like, if that sixth wide receiver doesn't really matter and like Trent Taylor isn't objectively worse, then why not? Yeah. That being said, I just feel like Ronnie Bell has a future and Trent Taylor doesn't even have a present. So, just put Trent Taylor on the practice squad and call it a day.
I feel like he'd fit in the Cabo Clique, though. I feel like he'd fit in.
Yeah, but he couldn't pay his way there.
I feel like he would go to a Warriors game. I feel like he's going to be at the Warriors game with George Kittle and Kyle Juszczyk next year. All right.
He'd be like sleeping on the beach. He's like, you can come to Cabo, but you can't. I'm not paying for your room. Like, you can stay at the Best Western.
The last group. Which is the biggest? Would you agree the offensive line is the worst position group on the team?
It's like by far the worst position group, and it's crazy because it might be the only one. It might be the only bad position group on the team, and that's why I think people don't understand the Niners' roster building philosophy. It's like if you want to deprioritize offensive line, okay, you could make an argument, fine, but when you've stacked your roster and your only needs are on the offensive line, and you still take a wide receiver first, that's worth questioning.
It feels like Kyle has like this idea in his head where he's cracked the code, that he figured out everyone else is wrong. You don't need to invest in offensive line. I got this figured out. We don't need to do that. Everyone else is tripping. It feels like that has to be it at this point because he's neglected it for 2 years outside.
I would tweak that a little bit. It's not that everyone else is tripping. It's that everyone else is mediocre. And if you're not a genius, then you need a great offensive line. But if you're really freaking smart like me, you can work around it. And that to me is the problem with Kyle, man. He's never going to invest in the offensive line because that takes away from his importance. It's like you have the best offense, you have all these weapons, but you need Kyle because you got to keep people off balance and you can't dictate with an offensive line. You can't road grade people in the run game or keep Brock upright. Like Kyle has to be calling plays really well. And that's, to me, it's like, if you have all that talent on offense, shouldn't it be a situation where any mediocre coach could score with this team? But that's not what Kyle's constructed. And that's why I keep saying, like, if you could just have a good offensive line with this team, you wouldn't need Kyle, man. Any offensive coach who didn't suck would win with this team. And Kyle is, like, purposely putting a handicap that he feels only he can, a hurdle only he can clear. Like, yeah, maybe. But if that wasn't, that hurdle doesn't need to be there.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm still trying to understand it. But here's my question, last question on the offensive line, and then we got some super chats. Sorry, guys, I haven't forgot you. Just wanted to get through this first. But Dominic Pooney, man, talk to me about Dominic Pooney. Does he look impressive? What do you see from him?
Okay, I'm not writing him off. I don't know. I'd like to see him in one-on-one drills, but even then, like, one-on-ones isn't real football. Offensive linemen are work together, especially guards. You always have someone left and right of you. It's playing with the starters. The offensive line is trash.
Do you see him getting beat at all? Like, get him getting beat, or do you see him holding up? Because I imagine he's going up against Hargrave quite a bit, right?
Collins. Hargrave is more Banks. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard TBD. To watch 22 people and be like, yo, that dude got beat. It's like, you kind of have to focus on the secondary or the offensive line. And I don't know. I feel like David Lombardi probably knows exactly what's happened on every single play with all 22 players at all times. And it's in a spreadsheet. But honestly, we'll see. We'll see.
What are you again? What do you call you? It starts with an A.
Was you call talking me about an you? Aggregator.
Aggregator, yeah.
Like, motherfucker, I was there. What are you talking about? I'm not watching your videos and talking about them. Like, I'm there too. What the fuck are you talking about?
Aggregator. I don't know what that shit means. He's an interesting cat. All right, two questions,
like,
before.
How many people really have subscriptions to the Athletic? Like, I have to have one. I don't choose to have one.
Most impressive, surprising player in this training camp thus far is?
Most impressive, surprising player.
Who are you?
Yadam. Yadam. Who the fuck is Isaac Yadam? Like, he had one good year last year in a team that didn't matter. The rest of his career, he struggled. And now he's starting. Like, Chavarius Ward doesn't play, has a day off. It's Lenore and Yadam. And he's not a shutdown corner, but he's excellent. I mean, he's a lot better than Ambry Thomas. He's a lot better than Logan Ryan. And he's keeping Renardo Green off the field for the most part. And Renardo Green's a good player.
They're going to need Renardo at some point. But I honestly tweeted out that, like, because I think he was top 10 statistically, Yeadam, last year for the Saints. And I thought, like, that's what made me, like, curious, like, why they got Renardo, but obviously they're going to need him. Charvarius, Diamador, Lenore aren't in contract past this year. Yadam isn't either. So that's why they went with Renardo, I suppose.
I feel like their draft picks this year were, like, very much looking ahead to next year, like players they don't anticipate re-signing because they're going to be giving these extensions to Ayuk and Purdy. So Pearsall, just in case Ayuk isn't a long-term player with the Niners. Renardo Green, just in case Diamador Lenore gets priced out. Dominic Pooney, just in case Aaron Banks gets priced out. Malik Mustafa, when Talanoa Hufanga gets priced out. Things like that. That's the way I saw it. Yeah.
All right, let's end on a negative, and then we'll get to the super chats. But who's the most disappointing player of this of the training camp thus far?
I'm not filibustering. I just don't want to say this cavalierly. Let me think. Most disappointing.
If there isn't one, we don't have to make one up if there isn't one.
I mean, is it not Brandon Ayuk? Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? What are you doing?
He didn't play this well.
Like, what are you?
Stick to your guns, man. He shouldn't be here. I can't. Stick to your guns. After everything you said, done, you shouldn't be here. I think that was the move. You got to stick to your gun. I think you folded a little bit in that regard. You know, F the fines, brother. You're going to get paid regardless. Yeah. He should have stuck with his guns.
That's all offseason. He was like really posturing, like, I mean it. I'm not messing around. People have underestimated my whole life. I'm 26. This is my moment. And you just folded, man. So early on, him, like, why are you watching practice? Either practice or leave. Why are you here?
Like, for the record, I don't think anyone's impressed. What I really realized from the 49ers is it's okay to make your players the highest paid player at their position if you do it early. So if you would have done it before last season for Brandon Ayuk, if you made him the highest paid wide receiver, that would be cheap right now. And so if you do it super early, it would have been fine. And that was the error. And I like BA, man. I feel like this season is screwed to me if they don't get Brandon Ayuk in here. I don't see the receivers they have being able to replace what Brandon Ayuk brings. 49ers have to figure it out. Brandon Ayuk has to figure it out. I don't see them having the same strength on offense without Brandon Ayuk. I just don't see it.
I just think it's interesting how when Jimmy was the quarterback, Debo was the man for a lot of reasons. Like, Jimmy was not good. And anytime he threw the ball more than 10 yards down the field, it was a freaking adventure or an interception waiting to happen. So if you're trying to figure out like all the ways to throw the ball short, Debo's your best friend. That's not Brock. He doesn't need that crutch. He wants and is capable of throwing the ball 15 plus yards down the field. I mean, he's not a great deep thrower, but that intermediate level, he's elite statistically. He needs Ayuk.
Yeah.
I want to say something else. I'm not done talking about David Lombardi.
All right. Okay. Let's go.
I'm upset. Yeah. Ever since he said he was the one honest broker on YouTube, man, fuck that. Like, let's talk for a second about David Lombardi. That's how I feel about David.
Yeah.
David's smart. David went to Stanford. David's a stat guy. David doesn't know fuck about football. Not a damn thing. What he does is he talks stats, EPA, whatever. And that's why he thought Jimmy Garoppolo was a top five quarterback. Am I making that up?
And he thought Aaron Rodgers was better than Aaron. He thought Jimmy was better than Aaron Rodgers.
I'm not making that up, right? No. This motherfucker thought Jimmy was a top five quarterback. That disqualifies you from football discourse.
For 5 years.
You're done. Yeah. You don't know what you're looking at. You're a stat guy. End of story. Quote me. That's what he is. So I'm not saying I didn't play, but I actually have like an open dialogue with coaches. I mean, I have Tom Walsh on my channel. There are people I can talk to who can actually give me some insight onto the sport so I don't have to like dig through NFL next gen shit and just get stats that I don't understand.
There's too many people that depend on stats to analyze football, and a lot of them are what most people would call casuals on Twitter. And when you're a reporter, you got to know that too. Like, you can't rely on stats to analyze players because there's so much more. It's the ultimate team sport. So your statistics are affected by the entire team. And that's why you were wrong about Jimmy Garoppolo for 5 years straight. And so it's hard to trust somebody that was wrong about a quarterback for 5 years straight.
You were wrong about Jimmy, because all the numbers said he was elite. But anyone that had a fucking brain and eyes could see, like, oh, that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
But he couldn't go there. Fine. I noticed that's his limitation.
He likes to carry the water. And so the most recent one, which he's going to be exposed on very soon, is him explaining during the draft of why everyone else is completely ignorant and stupid, and why the 49ers don't need to draft offensive linemen. It's already biting him in the ass. He's already been proven wrong about that. That's the problem when you carry water for the organization and you don't give honest evaluation based on what you're seeing, not based on the numbers. It's going to come back to bite you. And it did with Jimmy for a long time.
Like, here's the thing about David. I'm going in. He's Brock's biggest supporter. Like, no one will give him more praise than David. David will compare him to Joe Montana, but David doesn't know why. He couldn't actually explain what makes Brock good. He was talking the other day about Brock having the best base of any thrower in the NFL. Motherfucker, what does that even mean? Explain that. He can't explain what makes Brock so good. He'll just go to numbers, or he'll say weird things that don't actually mean anything. As opposed to you and I, who are very enthusiastic about Brock Purdy, we have certain reservations, certain questions, but we can articulate our opinions how as we want to. We don't have to go to like, well, actually, he was third in the league in EPA and he was second in QBR. Like, okay, so was Jimmy. Like, what are you seeing?
Yeah, and I like Brock way better than Jimmy, but like QBR is not the reason. Right, it's watching him play, and his decision making is what makes me like him better. Not his QBR. His QBR could be lower than Jimmy's ever was, and I would still think he's better than Jimmy. Right, so Jimmy's the reason why I'm so cautious about
anyone who leans on stats that heavily. You can't trust. You can't trust, man. You could find a stat to support any opinion you have, man. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We got some super chats, buddy. Jeremy M. says, nobody is talking about the NFLST lawsuit and the possible cap adjustment coming based on media contracts. JJ isn't rushing to sign his guys this year. JJ, who's JJ?
Jerry Jones.
Cowboys.
That's way beyond me, Jeremy. I don't know. I'm cognizant, but that's beyond me. I don't even know.
I don't know if it's going to affect it that much, like, right, like we're anticipating what 12, 13, 14% cap increase next year. The pending lawsuit, how is it going to affect? Is it going to completely wipe that out? I don't see that. But it could affect it, I could see in some ways, but could not, yeah, not to the level where it's like shuts shit down or anything like that. But you make a good point,
yeah.
Dave Barkley, I told everyone that watches football to subscribe. That's because you're the man, dude. That's why.
Go,
I appreciate you.
Let's go.
Shady. Luke is hella shady. Says, do you think if that DB versus the Lions didn't drop that interception, IU caught, Niners still would have won? No. And I think if Dan Campbell would have ran the ball instead of giving up on the run, they Niners would have lost if he did that too.
Shady Luke, I think, is an Eagles fan. It's a good point. Like, the Niners aren't... They were real close to not going to the Super Bowl last year. They're not as dominant as they think.
People aren't going to like this. And I'm trying to get subscribers here, so maybe I shouldn't say it. But I got to be honest at all times. Lions and Texans in the Super Bowl, Texans win. That's my prediction. We'll see.
I like that prediction. And like when the schedule came out, when free agency was over, I was leaning towards the Lions as the team to beat in the NFC, and I might go back there. But right now, I'm looking. I told you this last night at dinner. The Rams are interesting to me. Rams. I know that, like, you can't name more than two players in their defense. That is true. But damn, their offense has no weaknesses, from the skill position players to the quarterback to the offensive line to the coach. Like, yeah, that seems interesting. But let's see if they can keep Stafford. Let's see if Stafford actually stays healthy.
If Stafford's healthy and at 100%, he is dangerous. He really is. Him, Rodgers, same way. I mean, we'll see what happens to Rodgers. They're both kind of in a similar position. They both won Super Bowls. They both play at very high levels if they're healthy. They're at the end of the career. So I'm curious to see what Rodgers looks like this year, and I'm curious to see if Stafford can bounce back after his arm issue last year.
Hey, can we please get Jimmy Garoppolo to start one game against the Niners this year? I mean, we got Darnold starting a game. I just want to see Jimmy against the Niners. Please. Please.
We'll never be that lucky.
I want it. And Trey, too. That would be nice, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Trey. Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, I did think it's funny. Everyone was dunking on Trey because he had a rough practice or something. Dak Prescott, I heard, threw more interceptions than Trey in that practice, but everyone's picking on Trey. Brock Purdy threw three interceptions today. Like,
it's an offseason tradition, picking on Trey. It'd be nice to, like, look, if he sucks, he'll eventually show that in a game, but that hasn't happened yet.
Here's the thing. They need to make a spinoff of Everybody Hates
Everybody Chris. Hates Trey.
Everybody hates Trey.
It's true. They do.
Leave they it do. Oh, geez, man. What'd he do? What'd he do to you guys? Butter. Keenan, 3 months of butter biscuits. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you and your support, man. It means a lot. Tyler, Caressley, Grant Ryan. So we're combined. That's our couple name, Grant Ryan. What do you think is the timeline to re-sign Big Trent. What do you think?
They got to get him on the field for week one. So whatever it was with Nick last year, if they could get Trent on the field 4 days before week one, they just might win that game. But if Trent Williams doesn't play against the Jets, they're fucked.
There's no way they don't put Trent Williams on the field. There's no way.
No, I'm saying like if they don't work that out before.
Well, yeah. Do you think Kyle would really do that? I don't know. I feel like they're going to be like, figure it out. We got a game next week.
Yeah, I just feel like Trent's made his desires known. And if the Niners could have easily given it to him, they would have by now.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Like with Christian McCaffrey, they handle that in 2 weeks. They're like, what? We got that. No problem. With Trent, it's like, we haven't earmarked that for you. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I feel like they'll figure it out. They have to. They have no choice. Shady Luke again. Why are you so shady, Luke? I'm just asking because people are discrediting the Lions and Green Bay, and I'm an effing Eagles fan. Are the Eagles going to be better this year, man? That was a rough year.
That was a rough year. Yeah, but I feel like them losing Shane Steichen was brutal. He's a really good offensive coach, and they went to having a terrible one last year, and this year they have Kellen Moore, who's like as mediocre as it gets. So I don't know, but they do have a ton of talent on their team. They added a bunch of players to their defense. They got Vic Fangio, so watch out for them.
Brother Bob says, well, I hate Kyle Levy because he keeps choking the Super Bowls. Hate is a strong word, Brother Bob. You don't hate him. You just wish he would do things differently. Kyle's a good coach. He sucks at prioritizing the offensive line. He's missed on his quarterback picks. He makes bad game time decisions at time. He's horrible at being accountable.
How many people do you hate in the world?
Zero. Hate. Zero.
I hate one person.
Who do you?
I hate Damon Bruce. Fuck Damon Bruce. Hey, hold on. Fuck Damon Bruce. Yeah, I said that.
Yes.
I hate that fool. That dude really did the good and the not so good. Fuck you.
He totally took your shit.
Fuck you.
Damon Bruce, here's the thing. If we're going to talk about Damon Bruce, because here's the thing. I was always polite to Damon Bruce. He was polite to me. And then he started talking shit about my guys, Grant, Jesse Naylor, and I blocked him because I don't have time for if I don't like you, I block you. Why the fuck would I deal with you? That's what I do. Mm-hmm. And then he went on his show and called me an insurance salesman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Damon Bruce.
The worst person I've ever met on earth. Damon Bruce. The worst person I've ever met.
For one, I don't sell insurance. I'm a real estate broker and mortgage broker. And I promise you, I make a shit ton more money than you. So why are you attacking my job, Damon Bruce? You need to chill. Leave my guys alone and no one will come at you. And quit buying, while we're at it, quit buying subscribers.
It's a bad look.
Yes. I'm trying to hit 10,000 subscribers. None of them bought, sir. If I wanted to buy 10 grand, I'd be right there next to you. But that's enough. Look what you're doing to
me. It's enough.
Fish and chips. Lynch and Shanahan will bail in a few years and we will be in financial black hole and the next guys will need to mop it all up. Fish, very, very positive. Fish and chips are excellent, by the way.
No one's going to bail on a team that has a franchise quarterback. The question is if the Niners bail on them.
Right.
Because Brock's the only reason they're still with the team.
I asked you, well, can I ask you this? Because I asked you last night, I asked your dad too. Who's going to be the team longer? Who do you think is
Brock?
That is? Brock. And if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I could see it, man. Brother Bob, anti Kyle Levy. Here's $2. I said what I said. Yeah, DB blows too. Ouch. Well, guys, that's our positive show for the evening. Hope you guys feel better. Subscribe to my channel. And then I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. with Marco. What's your schedule, sir?
Practice at 10:30 tomorrow, 10 o'clock, maybe 10. And then, you know, good and the not so good by like 1. Come home by like 2:30. And then like, Bruce, you know,
good and not so good at 1.
Yeah, me and my pops will do a stream. And then on Wednesday, it's me and Jesse. You know how we do. You know. Yeah, The lineup was there last night, man. There's no curveballs, surprises around here.
It was great, man. I had a great time. It was good to see
and
all
it was
of
a tax
it.
Write-off, too. I like that. It was business.
Oh, boom. There you go. There you go. Damon Bruce, don't ever insult my business, brother. I provide for my family that way, and I'm cooking, brother. I'm cooking. Promise you.
Man. Yeah, especially when, like, you haven't had one original idea in this space. Not one.
Washed.
You're a failed radio disc jockey who is a YouTube interloper colonizer who can't even crack 2K per stream and is not giving proper credit. Like, look, you don't like Larry. I understand. Larry gives credit to the people that came before him. Damon doesn't. Damon doesn't.
I get along with Larry now.
I got a big problem with Damon. At least Larry gives credit. Damon doesn't.
I don't have any problem with Larry Krueger anymore.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
We're copacetic.
That's a word. I like that word.
Washed. You're not like us, as my guy Kendrick Lamar said, Damon Bruce.
Damon is so not like us.
No, he's definitely not.
No.
Grant, appreciate you, dog.
Appreciate you, too.
All right, you guys. Tune in tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe or you're tripping. It's that simple.
Tripping.
See you guys. Thank you so much for watching the Ryan G. Hensley Show. Your support is greatly appreciated. Please visit RyanGHensley.com to learn more about me and all of my businesses. Whether it's real estate, credit repair, solar, whatever it is, you can find out more about me on that website. Hit that like button, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so you know when we go live. Thanks again for watching. It's much appreciated.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.